Good morning, church. It is a privilege to be with you this morning. I'm always excited that we can be together as a church, and as you guys are home, I pray that you are consistently praising God. We're about to change things up a little bit. I told you that we will be doing a sermon series on family devotions, but just listening to you guys, praying with you guys, calling you guys, knowing how much the Psalms have been an encouragement to you. And also on Wednesday night prayer, when I asked specifically what have you been reading, most of you, or many of you, wrote that you are reading through the Psalms. So I think it's a timely, very, very important time for us just to walk through Psalms. So it will be lessons through the Psalms. However, for family devotion, we will have on our website a page just devoted to family devotion where you can go. You can listen to some sermons on there. We have some articles on there as well, just to be able to help you guys in your family devotions. So at this time, let's dive into the Word of God together. We will look at the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm chapter 42. So when you've arrived to the text, say word, word, and can you please stand? Stand at home because of the reverence of God, reverence of God's word, for God's word. So please stand as we read together. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad and shout and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festivals. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls, too deep at the roar of your waterfalls, at your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray together. Father, we hope in you in this dark time, in this difficult time. You are our rock. You are our salvation. We must preach to our souls, God, when we feel cast down, when we feel that our souls are troubled. God, I pray that we can preach to ourselves. We can remind ourselves of God's love towards us. So God, I pray today that you teach us what we do not know. Give us what we do not have, and make us what we are not. And God's people says, amen, amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon is from Psalm 42, verses 1 through 11, and the title for today's sermon is A Troubled Soul. What do you do when trouble comes to you when you are unprepared? When you don't even understand the trouble, what do you do? What do you do in the moment when it seems like God is distant from you? God is so far away. It feels like heavens are brass. What do you do when you feel under attack? What do you do when you feel spiritually depressed? What do you do? When it seems like no one understands, no one gets it, when it feels like you are alone, when it feels like faith flickers as if it's going out, well, Psalm 42 here answers these questions for us. So first, I want you to see the causes of a troubled soul, the causes of a troubled soul. If you notice very carefully, David mentions the absence of God. The absence of God is the first cause that he mentions in verses 1 through 2. Reading your own Bibles and see for yourself, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So David feels that God is not with him. God is not hearing him. He is crying out to God day in and day out, and God is not listening to him. Now, is there ever a time that God is absent? No. God is always present. God is always with his people. But David here feels in his own heart that God is not listening to him. And this is the problem with spiritual depression or troubled soul. There is a disconnect with what we believe and how we feel. What we believe that God will never leave us or forsake us. What we feel that God has left us, but not only left us, but God is against us. And this is why it's important that we observe that what we believe must dominate our hearts. David gives a description here. And the description specifically is kind of like a metaphor. He says, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. Now deers are not foolish animals. They're not walking to a stream of water and then they say to themselves, well, we're not going to drink and we'll walk away and we'll die of thirst. No, what David wants you to see is that deer is constantly searching for water, but it's not finding water. And what David wants you to see is his own heart towards God. When he feels that God is absent, he is thirsty for God, but yet he feels God alienated. He feels alienated from God. He longs for God, but yet he feels rejected by God. He's passionate for God, but yet he feels abandoned by God. He's more aware of the absence of God than he is the presence of God in that very time. So friends, I ask you this. In your troubled soul, do you feel that God is not around you? That God is not listening? That you prayed and prayed and prayed that God remove this disease and nothing is happening. You prayed for your husband to not lose his job, but he's in danger of losing his job. That you feel that God is not around. Well, that can cause a troubled soul. Notice very carefully what Paul Tripp mentions in his book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand. He states, a Christian can have joy in his heart while there is still spiritual depression in his head. The joy that must sustain us through these dark nights and is not quenched by spiritual depression. The joy of the Christian is one that survives all downturns in life. And we're reminded by this. The Apostle Paul reminded us of this. Come in closer and get this. Read this. Allow this scripture to speak over your life, to encourage your hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. What the Apostle Paul is helping us see here is that we will go through times where our soul is downcast, yes. That's profound, yes, but it's not permanent, nor is it fatal, because God will answer. He will answer. Notice the second cause David mentions in the text, the taunts of unbelievers. See in your own Bibles in verses 3 and 10. Verses 3 and 10. My tears have been food day and night while they say to me, all the day long. Where is your God? And again in verse 10, notice what they say. They stated to him. Notice what they said to him. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Where is your God, is what they're telling David. Now, in ancient times, there were no real atheism. Theoretical atheism and atheism as we know it today really developed in Greek philosophy. So what they're not telling David, where we don't believe that there is a God. What they're telling David is simply this. Where is the God that you serve? God has left you, David. God is no longer with you. God's favor is no longer on you. And because of their taunts, we find that David found his soul downcast, according to verses 3 and 10. See for yourself what David mentions. He says of his tears. He sits on his bed. He lies on his bed. And he finds himself drinking his tears. He cries and he cries and he cries because of the taunts of the unbelievers. Maybe there are some of you today where unbelievers, people you have witnessed to, shared Christ with, and they're saying to you, well, why is God allowing this to happen? If he's so good, why is he causing this to happen? Maybe they're saying to you that God has left you, and you find yourself defeated. Notice the next reason, the next cause David mentions here, a disruption of community in verses 4 and 6. Reading your own Bibles, verses 4 and 6 of Psalm chapter 42. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festivals. And notice verse 6. And my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan of Hermon and the Mount Mizar. Do you notice what he's doing here, saints? Probably what we notice here is that David was prevented from going into the house of the Lord. Doesn't that sound very familiar right now? That we are prevented from coming together as a church to worship. This building is not the church. You are the church. But this building allows us to gather together as the church. And David tells us where he is geographically. He is in the north. And we know for sure that the place where they worshiped God was in the south. So David wasn't where God had prescribed for his people to worship, right? And we notice what David is doing here. David is crying out and saying to the Lord, my soul is downcast because I cannot be with your people to worship in your temple. To worship you. There was a disruption of community. I like what Tim Keller states here. Tim Keller states, the psalmist is showing us that that individual Bible study and corporate Bible study is not the same, but you need both. You need both. David is longing to be with God's people. You know, I talking to you guys throughout the week and hearing of your desire to be with one another, as I greet you on the phone, as we start talking, many of you have said, man, I miss the church. I miss God's people. I miss being together. Many of you have said as well, man, I love the family devotion. I love that we're reading the Bible together, but I miss the church. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is good. We are called to miss the church. We're called to miss the gathering of God's people. In our culture, it always promotes individualistic ideologies. Always does. Where they say that we don't need other people. That's not what David is saying here. We need each other. And when we're not with each other, there should be a sense of our soul crying out to be with one another. Like my soul is crying out to be with you, to see you. The survey shows that 80 to 90% of Americans, what they say. They say, I can be a good person without being a part of an institution. How many times have you heard this? I can be a good Christian without being a part of a local church. I do not need Christians, is what people say. But brothers and sisters, such views are foreign to Scripture. We see even with David that he longed to be with God's people and in the house of God. Hebrews 10:25 states, not neglecting to meet together as it is a habit of some by encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I was talking to our sister Cherie, and she's home and not feeling good. And the one thing that she did mention to me is the time away from the church have showed her how much she values the church, how much she misses people at the church and her service to the church. And this is our sister as she's homesick, and yet she is longing to be with the church. And so many of you are saying the same. But as we notice here, David's soul was downcast because of a disruption of community. Notice with me again, or fourthly, the fourth cause. The fourth cause is an overwhelming trial in his life. We see this in verse 7, overwhelming trial in his life. He says, deep calls, too deep. It's the roar of the waterfalls. All your breakers of your waves have gone over me, is what David is saying. The psalmist is telling us that his trouble is so much. He doesn't necessarily mention exactly what his trials were, but he's saying as he looks at the waterfall, he could imagine that his trials and all the problems he's having is falling on his head and causing great depression in his life. It is causing his soul to be sorrowful. You too can identify with David, perhaps, you at home. Issues upon issues upon issues, trials upon trials upon trials, and difficulties upon difficulties upon difficulties, and you feel downcast. So, what is the cure? Enough, enough, Kevin, with all the causes. I get the causes. I know the cause. I know what's causing my soul to be downcast. And you could identify with David. And maybe there's some things here that David mentioned that you find is causing you to be downcast, right? What's the cure? I'm glad you're asking. The cure here is that David gives us a four-step process for this great cure. The main cure is God. But David tells us how to get there. How to trust upon the Lord, right? He's not just saying trust God. He's not just saying God is the cure. He's saying this is how you can cast yourself upon God. The world turns to many false cures. For example, if they have a downcast soul, they turn to alcohol or drugs, expensive vacations, or they just buy more and more stuff. And they think if they can get all of that stuff, then it's going to bring them up. It's going to bring their soul up. But friends, it won't. They have the philosophy of Mallory Keaton, of the television show program Family Ties. And notice very carefully what she stated. She said, when I get depressed, I go shopping. Such cures are ineffective. They allow temporary relief for a while, and then it adds more and more issues. You go shopping, but you have debt, and more debt that causes your soul to be more downcast. So what is the cure? What is the cure? And David tells us here, he gives us a four-step process. Are you ready for it? Write these down. Pour out your soul, is what he says. Pour out your soul to the Lord. Remind yourself of God's grace and love. examine or analyze your hope. And four, preach the gospel to yourself. Preach to yourself. Stop listening, but preach to yourself. So first, pour out your soul to the Lord. See for yourself in verse 4 what he does. In verse 4 of chapter 42, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. David was honest before God. The psalmist was honest before God. He continues to speak even when he felt God was not listening. And this is what we must do. This is a practice. When you feel that God is silent, continue to speak. Continue to pray. Continue to press on. Because you have to remind yourself, it's not really how you feel in that moment, it's what's factual about God, that God is listening. So continue to cry out to him. Don't be silent when you feel that God is silent. No, but continue. Pour out your soul. David is not venting his frustration to God, no. David is not suppressing his frustration. What the psalmist is doing here is praying his frustration, praying his heart, pouring out his heart to the Lord. Can you do that? The second cure that David mentions here is that he asks us to remind ourselves of God's grace and love. This is what he does. This is the cure for him. When he finds his soul downcast, we notice the first thing he does, he pours out his soul to the Lord, and then he reminds himself of God's grace and love. Notice in verse 6, he remembers what? What does he remember specifically? As we see in verse 6, he remembers something incredible. He states, "And my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you." He remembers God. And in verse 8, he tells us something incredible. He mentions God's steadfast love. Now that word, steadfast love, in the original language is used multiple times in the Old Testament. That word is the word chesed. And that word is constantly mentioned in the book of Psalms. It is the scarlet thread in the book of Psalms. The word gives us a picture of God's covenantal love. That God will always be faithful to his people. This word chesed is very similar to the word agape in the New Testament. God's love. And friends, here, David tells us exactly how God's love pursues him. In verse 8, he says that God commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. Now, what David is doing here is that David is telling us something incredible, that God's love is constantly pursuing him. David wants us to see that the presence of faith does not guarantee the absence of spiritual struggle. Not because you're a Christian, it means that you will never struggle. But it is God's presence that brings light to the dark night of the soul. Come in closer and get this. Please, think deeply about this. This is for you, beloved. Beloved, one of the things that you must do in such darkness, in such difficulties, and sad times when your soul is cast down, is to remember what you have learned in the light, what you know about God. Remember his faithfulness towards you. Remember that he saved you. Remember his love towards you. Because sometimes in the darkness, we forget the light of God. Let me give you a perfect example of this. Imagine this morning you're walking outside and your neighbor asks you to come to show you something in his house. Now, I know we're supposed to be at home and the social distancing is what we need to do right now, but I'm calling you to imagine something. So don't do it, just imagine. And your neighbor is asking you to come. Your neighbor walks you into his house and he walks you into a room. And that room is so dark where you cannot even see your hands in front of your face. The first thing you begin to do is panic. Man, what happened to the light? But you shouldn't panic because this is what you must do. Remind yourself of the reality that just happened a few seconds ago. You walked outside and it was sunny. The sun was shining. There's no need to panic. All you have to do is just walk outside and there is light. In the same way for us, when we find ourselves in dark times, we must remind ourselves of the reality that God is always there. This is the reality. He's always shining. He loves us. He cares for us. He's moving on our behalf. And this is what David does here. David reminds us of such great things. The great Redeemer commands his affections to march forward into our hearts, to march forward into our lives, to march forward into our souls, to invade us with the reality of his covenantal love. Don't you just love that about God? When you find yourself depressed at home, your soul is downcast, and God will command his steadfast love towards you. Can you hear it? Can you hear the footsteps of his covenantal love coming to restore you? This is what David is giving us a picture of. As he lays on his bed at night, he finds his soul downcast, and here comes God to redeem him. You know, what I love about this is what David says as well for us to see. The third cure is to examine our hopes. Examine our hopes. See for yourself what he mentions three times. Twice in the text, he says it to us in verses 5 and 11. In verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise God. This is a rhetorical question here. What David is doing is searching his heart. And he's saying to his heart, why are you cast down? It's because of what you're hoping in. You are not hoping in God, you're hoping in something else. But I am commending you, I'm helping you see that you must hope in God. This is what David is doing here. This is a rhetorical question. Friends, I firmly believe in our dry times, in our spiritual downcast, it reveals the idols within our own hearts. You know, when we maybe don't have internet, or we go on vacation, and the place we're staying, it doesn't have internet, so we begin to fuss and complain because we can't get on Facebook and we feel sad. It's because of what we're hoping in. And in this very time, we're probably upset because we can't go places, we can't do what we want, and we begin to complain, we begin to get really upset. It's probably because of the idols that we have in our own lives. What are you hoping? David here says that we must hope in God. Do you see it? He doesn't want any false hope. His greatest hope is God. What are you hoping in right now? A stimulus bill? You'll be getting a bunch of money. You can't wait to use it. And if it doesn't happen, maybe you're going to cry. Listen, in this time, let's just hope in God. And everything else is going to work out the way it needs to. This is exactly what David is saying to us here. The fourth thing he mentions is that he calls us to preach to ourselves. Preach to yourself. Stop listening to yourself. And preach to yourself. Preach the glorious gospel. Remind yourself of the will of God, of the presence of God. I love what Paul Tripp mentions. And he spent most of his life devoted to Christian counseling. And he states, you are in an unending conversation with yourself. You are talking to yourself all the time. It's true. Interpreting, organizing, analyzing what's going on inside of you and around you. You may be talking to yourself about why you feel so tired. Or maybe you woke up this morning with a sense of dread and you are not sure why. No one is more influential in your life than you are. Because no one talks to you more than you do. And this is why here David is talking about preach to yourself. This is what he's doing. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Don't be cast down. Hope in God. He is your rock. He is your salvation. We are commanded to preach to ourselves on a daily basis. And right now, saints, are you preaching to yourself? Are you reminding yourself of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That he came, he died, he resurrected, he ascended, and he is in heaven. And Jesus has died so that you can have life. And for those of you who have repented and given your life to Jesus, there is great hope. There is the ultimate hope. This is what David is reminding us to do. He says to pour out your soul. Remind yourself of the grace and love of God. Examine your hopes and preach to yourself. This is the cure. Let us pursue it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we worship you. We thank you, God, for your mercy and for your love that consistently pursues us. I pray, Father, when our soul feels downcast, when our soul feel as if we are depressed, there's no hope, God will continue seeking your face. Whatever is causing us to be depressed, I pray that you remind us of the cure. The cure is you. You remind us of David's four-step process in Psalm 42. Pour out our soul. Remind ourselves of your love and your grace, your steadfast love, your covenantal love. Examine our hopes, the idols within our lives. And finally, we ought to preach to ourselves. We love you. We worship you.